in association with Newsarama. Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. It's time for my coverage of Wizard Chicago. It was a great weekend. I managed to talk to a lot of creators, a lot more than even San Diego. Among the creators and executives you're going to be hearing from today, Dan DiDio from DC Comics, the great artist Art Balthazar, writer Will Pfeiffer, the great Scotty Young, Matt Wagner will join us, also Michael Avon Oeming, Phil Hester and Andy Parks, inker Andy Owens, the great artist Don Kramer, Andrew Peepoy, writer Chris Kirby, artist Dave Wachter, artist Pat Loika, artist Shane White, writer B. Clay Moore, and the great Chris Moreno, among others. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at DCBService.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com. Well, I had my handy microcassette with me, so fidelity is a little rough. It's about as good as a payphone, but it's clear enough, and I think you'll enjoy this coverage of Wizard Chicago. Some great surprises, dueling Dan DiDios among them, some of the fun things that you're going to hear. Thanks to everyone for coming up and saying hi, and thanks to these creators and executives who contributed to this broadcast for Word Balloon.
I am speaking to Eric Hutchins and Matt Anderson, who are part of the creative team of White Picket Fences, a fine book from Ape Entertainment. Guys, it's good to see you at the con.
Nice to see you as well.
Excellent book, 1950s book. Why don't you describe it for people who aren't aware of it?
White Picket Fences' basic premise is to take TV shows like Leave It to Beaver and smash them up with films like Day the Earth Stood Still and War of the Worlds. So our story involves Charlie Hobson, who's an 11-year-old boy who finds Martian weaponry hidden in his town, promptly steals it, and that's the Martians want to descend upon the town, the American military invades the town, all in an effort to get this device back from him.
But with a distinctly 50s sitcom mentality, so there's a lot of humor, a lot of Father Knows Best, and it's funny as well as thrilling.
Yeah, juxtaposed with a good kind of military conspiracy, which
I don't think really they were as hip to back in the... I mean, there was more paranoia, but it was more about the aliens than it really was the government.
Exactly.
A lot of Red Scare politics and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to do both, basically. I mean, my thought of... And the initial idea came because I would think of TV shows now, and they reflect our culture. You know, you see timely jokes, you see, you know, timely satire, anything like that, whereas with those TV shows, nothing. You would have no idea what was really going on in the world if you just saw Leave It to Beaver. So I wanted to take, the initial concept came to me, I wanted to just filter crazy Cold War, alien politics through the eyes.
From the movies that were at that time actually kind of subversively showing what was happening.
Right.
And having to try to coexist.
Right. In the White Picket Fences universe, giant ants are really in the L.A. storm drains. That's front page news. The thing happens. I mean, all of those movies.
And yet, the bake sale at the local elementary school.
Yeah, that's the thing that the citizens of Greenview, the town this story takes place in, the bake sale is what they're more concerned with. They may have headlines of giant ants eating people, but they're more concerned about, will we have enough fundraising events to, you know, do the school trip this year.
Now, how many chapters of is this first story going to be?
It's three issues.
Okay.
So it just concludes as of this convention. We've got the third issue out, but we are doing more.
Cool.
So somewhere in the winter time, we're doing a 48-page special, which we're setting up a little bit differently. There's a couple different stories in it, one of which I wrote by myself, and then Eric wrote the other one by himself, instead of just co-writing the entire book.
Yeah. So eventually, will the trade collect both of those, then the 3 and the 48?
Yeah, that's the idea, is that a trade for just 3 issues is a little slim, so it'd be nice to throw in a 48-page. And we all also passed the 48-page, we're doing another 3-issue miniseries, hopefully next spring.
Cool.
So hopefully the trade will come out as the next 3-issue miniseries is done.
Excellent.
And I'm still a talking.
And Eric, or Matt, I was going to ask you, you've got a project with Mark Ricketts in the works?
Yeah, it's right now it's kind of in a little bit of a holding pattern because Mark Ricketts has moved up to Maine and is in a kind of a local TV celebrity there. But yeah, we are co-writing a book called Nobody, which is about a group of friends that all get superpowers except for one of them. And it's kind of a little parody on the celebrity culture, and especially reality TV, how out of nowhere someone becomes a celebrity for doing nothing more than being in the right place at the right time. But the story focuses right on the guy that does not get the powers.
Very cool. Boys, good luck with White Picket Fences. It's from Ape Entertainment, and the third issue is coming out newsstands. Yeah, I know you've got it here at the con, but when's it coming out?
I think it should be in stores just the week following the convention, if not
so
weeks after.
None of the other issues shipped on time, so who knows?
Okay.
Well, all three are available still from Diamond?
Correct. Oh, yes.
Excellent. Check it out, White Picket Fences, good 50s sci-fi paranoia with a good modern twist. So, Matt and Eric, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to say right now I'm talking to myself because I find myself in a situation where words are not going to escape me. So here he is, Dan DeDio. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
You see, I wind up talking to myself all the time and nobody ever listens to me. So this works out really well.
Not true. I look in the mirror every day and I say, brilliant. We got to keep it going. I don't know how the hell we're going to do it, but every idea is gold and they all don't listen to me, but I hope they will eventually.
I'm
so glad that you like it, because seriously, you're doing a great job.
You know, this is a big year for us. You know, a lot of things are happening with Countdown. We announced Final Crisis. I feel that a lot of things that we've been putting in motion for the last 2 or 3 years are finally starting to gel. And just from these panels, from these conventions, we went to San Diego. Everything's been going on. It's just been a great response, and I feel that everybody's getting on board and picking up the sense of excitement that we know that we have coming.
Well, and it's nice to see the outside world's going to be able to get a taste of it, too, with the DVDs and everything that's going on as far as the animation and stuff
The DVD for us is a way to expose the stories. I mean, it's not just about people adapting what are the characters, but actually adapting the stories themselves, and that's what's special to us, because these things, their origins come from the comics. They started with the comics, so we feel much more beholden to the material and more excited about it when we see them on air.
All right, excellent. There's a countdown in my pants, and I want you to know that eventually we are going to sit down and we'll do another long talk if we can.
I'll tell you right now, by the end of this year, we can have a real talk about what's going on.
All right, good.
By that time, you'll see where Salvation Run is going, where Death of News God is going, where Countdown is going, and more importantly, what Final Crisis might be.
All right, so we'll talk in December, Matt.
That sounds perfect.
That'd be awesome, Dan.
Great.
Thanks again, Matt.
Thank you,
Matt.
Good talking to you. Good talking to me.
It was very good talking to me.
Thanks, Matt.
Really, it's just seconds after one of the DC panels where they made the announcement that they're expanding the Johnny DC line, and they're doing it with two great guys working on Tiny Titans. It's Art Balthazar and Franco Aureliani.
Aureliani.
Yes. Like Yanni.
Yeah.
It is like Yanni.
Better.
It's
taller and better hair.
Art, you know I'm a Patrick fan, and I had to run to Jan Jones and say, God, I am so glad you guys are working with both of you guys, because I'm well aware of your styles, and it's great to see that could translate into the DCU in a fun way for kids.
Man, we're so happy. It's like I'm going to say it's like a dream come true, because it really is. After I hung up the phone call with her and she said she wants me to do stuff, I like had to hold back all the emotions and think about it. All right, what just happened? I call my wife at work, and she works in the bank area, so she's like, that's great, honey. Oh, that's real good. Let me call you back in about 20 minutes. You know, 20 minutes later, oh, my God, what happened? Tell me everything.
Oh, that's cool. I think the deposit must have come in or something like that.
No, I can't talk. I can't be real excited at work. I have to be business-like.
I had
to call him back after the meeting that I was in to really let him know how.
Thank demeanor. I can respect that.
Because we just found out fairly recently that we're kind of tied into the regular DC universe.
Yeah.
It's a Teen Titans favorite TV show.
And
it's a cartoon show called The Tiny Titans.
We're going to be in issue 50 with Church Chris.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, so you guys are going to have a sequence of 50?
My artwork is going to be on the TV.
Oh, that's outstanding.
So it's our idol that we, you know, we bought all those Titan books, and George Perez, you know, big idol.
We just found that out that, like, hours ago.
Yeah.
They just told us that.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, we're putting this in. That's great, man. You know, the great thing is, you especially have been, like, selling your style of art and doing those great group shots of all the X-Men or all the Avengers or whatever, man. And that's great that finally somebody put it together and said, no, there's got to be a book like this. That's great.
A monthly book. That's
and a monthly mainstream tie-in or something like that. I mean, that's great. Because Patrick's great, man. Everybody loves Patrick.
Man.
But that's the thing. It's this will obviously open up a bigger audience as well, and hopefully they'll follow you to Patrick, too.
We're hoping.
Okay, good news we can't talk about now, but yes, we're hoping.
Very cool. Excellent, man. That's great. And the hero bearer guy is doing a Shazam, which is awesome, too. Yeah, Mike Kunkel.
He's awesome. We've seen his artwork, and it's just amazing stuff. It's really cool stuff.
Mike Kunkel's my new hero.
That's awesome.
I want him to draw my book. He's so good.
Now, are you guys going to be in costume tomorrow? It's pretty hot, man. It's going to be 97 degrees tomorrow.
You're going to be in costume. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, was there another dude with
you? I heard Batman and Robin were here last year. But
I see.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. We had to go to Philadelphia.
It was Barry and
Barry and Wally, yeah.
Oh, Barry.
Yeah. Dr. Louis Flamingo Jr. sends these guys and tells us we got to go somewhere else. So
I imagine there's going to be a picture of Franco and Art somewhere in costume, because they usually is during a con, and they're always among the highlights of con photos. All right.
I know what you're talking about.
pretend like, exactly. That's all right. That's right. I'm talking to myself. But no, Franco and our congratulations, guys. Tiny Titans, oh yeah, man. It's
Oh yeah, Tiny Titans.
That's going to be their cry. That they have in their battle cry. Oh yeah, Titans. Here on the con floor, I am speaking to writer Will Pfeiffer, who you all know from Amazon Attacks and Catwoman. And Will, I will start off by saying that Catwoman is one of the best books, and I don't know how it's sung, but the great thing is it's a great street-level book, and you continue to impress month and month, and it's telling a great story about Selina and Holly and everything that's going on in the underbelly of Gotham.
Yeah, I love her. I mean, and that's why, that's really what I like writing about it. I always see Catwoman and Selina as sort of the, you know, for lack of a better term, she's sort of the average Joe of the DCU. I mean, she's obviously got a lot of ability. She's been around for a while, but, you know, she's just trying to make her way the best, you know, way she can, and she kind of, you know, it's fun to put her, like I did, up against Superman for a couple panels, and she's kind of like, you know, what's his problem? I mean, it's just fun writing her as kind of the normal person looking at all the strangeness of the DCU and seeing it through her eyes.
Now, she's going to be a member of the Outsiders? Is that part of the plan?
Yeah, she is. She's going to be joining the Outsiders. I actually don't know a whole lot about what she's going to be doing in the Outsiders. We haven't. I mean, I just found out she was joining a little bit ago, so I haven't talked, you know, anything about specifics. But, you know, she's still going to be in our book, obviously,
sure.
And then it's going to tie in the Outsiders. And then she's also going to be involved in the Salvation Run thing that they're doing with the villains on the Australia plan, as they're calling it. So that should be fun.
That's cool. Okay, yeah, I was wondering. So you haven't had a chance to talk to Tony yet about Batman and the Outsiders?
No, but
Salvation Run, are they, you know, do you guys confer or at least get the chance to, like,
yeah,
touch base?
I just read through the script for the first issue of Salvation Run so I can, you know, kind of see what the vibe is there. And I'm going to be actually later today talking with my editor, Nancy Castro. And I've done a few emails with Bill Wellingham so far, but no specifics. But I think, you know, again, I'm going to try and tailor it so, you know, I mean, Catwoman, you know, she's almost like the reader representative in this crazy world. I mean, it's like a deadly, crazy planet. But how's she going to respond? You know, she's really out of her element, but, you know, she's the kind of person that can find her way and survive in any situation.
Very cool. And we're wrapping up Amazon's Attack, and you kind of talked about it at the DC panel we just came out of, so, you know, big surprise coming at the end of the
there
year.
There's a big surprise coming on the very last page of the last issue. So I just did my final lettering corrections. I sent them in last week, so the book is, you know, it's being finally locked. I've seen the last issue. Pete did an amazing job. And one of the things we did, you know, a lot of the big crossover books, I sometimes think by the time they get to the end, it's like so many things are happening, you kind of lose pace. But we planned this right from the beginning. It, like, sort of the whole second half of the issue, it gives time to kind of a breather, and you can kind of see the effects. And it's not like there's 43 panels on page 21, you know, where we're tightening every knot that we unloosen, you know, over the series. I mean, I think the last issue really feels like a good conclusion to the series.
Beyond Amazon Attacks, I mean, you're still doing Catwoman monthly,
still doing
but
Catwoman.
Anything else coming up?
You know, I actually do not have anything else coming up, and it's not even a question of I can't talk about it. Right now, I really don't. I'm just, it's kind of nice right now to just have one book because I still have my day job, which
sure.
One of these days I will be leaving, and I still have my daughter. You know, once summer's over, I'm definitely going to, you know, I want to do something else, maybe another mini or something, but I don't have anything specific lined up, but Catwoman for the, you know, foreseeable future, I love writing that book.
That's awesome, man. It's been a great run, and that's the great thing. It's funny, you know, sometimes they'll take a chance on, after Brubaker, you know, they'll take a chance on somebody, and
yeah,
you don't know what everything, but you stepped in, and it's been a great run, and, you know, I've always been a fan of your stuff going back to, I loved Hero, as you know, and your Vertigo stuff, so it's cool that you're keeping the run going, and also, you know, you poo-poo in the day job, but I'm always happy to talk to you about DVDs and stuff.
Oh,
so
I know.
We have to, and I said this last year, and I'm sorry it's been a year, but we definitely have to do another long episode.
Anytime, let's do it.
Very
seriously.
Cool.
And I'll just say, there's a new Catwoman trade out. It's only a movie. It collects the little Luthor arc and the Film Freak arc. And they're actually, I guess, maybe the trades are selling because they're going to do another trade after that. So whoever's buying them, thank you very much. I love writing the book.
Excellent. Will Pfeiffer, thank you very much. And like I said, we'll definitely catch up with you. And we'll talk DVDs and stuff
let's
as well.
It, yeah.
Beautiful, man. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks, John.
I'm here with local favorite Scotty Young. Have they got announcements for you, man, or they just take advantage of the fact that you're here and they want people to touch it?
Yeah, man, I think I am walking around. My fame is exuding all over the floor of the convention hall. But, I am going to be over at the Marvel booth a little later, 4:30, I think, doing a signing, hanging out. And yeah, but other than that, man, I get to be a fan this weekend. It's been a long time since I went to a convention and walked, you know, and just hung out.
Well, but it's good. I heard that you were also a good Samaritan. There was a little child that wandered into the Marvel booth.
Yeah. We just found Dan Buckley and I were sitting over there, and then we just, a fan told us that this little girl was lost, and she just kind of sitting there. It was like a movie, right? She's sitting there looking up at the sky, and so I sat there and colored with her for a little bit. We ended up fun, apparently. A little scary, though. But yeah, so it's been a good time. We did some panels yesterday, me and CB and Casada, and, you know, because Marvel, a lot of their flights got canceled.
I heard about that, man.
So the Marvel booth is a little scammed the last couple of days, so we stepped in and had some fun. And so, yeah, but like I said, man, it's great to just walk around and bullshit and have fun as a, you know, a nerd.
Beautiful, man. What is coming up for you?
Well, I got my own little project that I'm, you know, the Frankenstein stuff's been out for a while, but I got a personal project that I'm working on now, and I still have 3 issues of X-Men to come out. I got 2 issues I'm finishing up, one's getting ready to come out of new X-Men, and then I'm taking a little break, and I think in September they're going to announce my next project, which is very awesome. I think it's going to be my favorite project today at Marvel.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, then when that is announced, then we'll do the full-blown shot, and I won't just bug you for 5 minutes or at Teaser or whatever on Wednesday night.
Actually, I got to tell you, we changed it this week. We're not at Teaser now. We're at Fat Cat.
Oh, really?
On Broadway and Lawrence, the new restaurant.
Is that the new location?
Yeah, we just changed it this week. It's really great, man. Yeah, but yeah, definitely when they announce that, we'll get together, you know, like our houses and hang out.
Very nice.
Sweet.
Scotty, thank you.
Hey.
Good talking.
Thank you, brother.
You know, we're outside one of the panels right now. We got to be quiet, but I got Matt Wagner here. I feel like I'm on the golf course. It's like we're on the 18th green with Matt Wagner. Matt, this is a tricky shot. Usually I'd use a pitching wedge. What are your thoughts?
But.
So we're closer.
It's only 100 yards, but.
We're closer to the Grand Ole series coming out, the new miniseries.
Yeah, November.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
November, really looking forward to it. I'm quite far into production, so well ahead of schedule and... I think it's going to be a great jumping on point for brand new Grendel readers, and also is a great fulfillment for old time Grendel readers.
Oh yeah, people wait for a good Hunter Rose story for a long time.
Yeah,
so that's
and you get to see Hunter being his badass self a lot in this. So, but again, it's a good. I really styled it so that people that don't know anything about Grendel could hop right on. So.
Excellent. And Madame Xanadu, we talked a little bit about it in Orlando, but you couldn't talk much about it. But
mm-hmm.
now the cat's out of the bag, so I'm glad to see that it's going to connect with the Phantom Stranger as well. I think that's really neat.
Yeah. It's a centuries-long gothic romance. So, as I said, it's a little more feminine of a story than I've ever done. And that's one of the things that attract. You know, I'm always looking for some way to branch out and try something new, and... Amy Hadley, the artist, is, again, a little more of, has a more feminine mystique to her art than most people I've worked with in the past as well, and so I'm really looking forward to it. She's turned in some early stuff, and everybody seems to be thrilled with it, so.
Are you doing the covers for it?
No, she is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she is. They were thinking about having a guest cover artist. They asked me at one point, I was like, oh, I'm just too swamped with other stuff. And then she turned in a promo piece for San Diego that was just so beautiful that I said to them, you guys don't get another cover artist. She's perfectly capable. She's really great. So I don't know what the final verdict on that is. That's not my department. But but if I had my way, she'd be doing the covers herself, yeah.
Very cool. And you wrapped up your Batmans for now, but those were excellent. And,
well, and next on deck is we just announced that I'm going to be doing the covers and the art direction, similar to John Cassaday on The Lone Ranger, for Zorro, Dynamite's Reloaded Zorro.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because, I did want to talk about that. That's fantastic, and that's really cool.
Writing the first 6 issues as well. So
excellent, man.
New recon of his origin. Really trying to take him back to his pulp roots more than his Saturday matinee serial persona.
Well, what do you think of, like, all right, there's the matinees, but then there were the really, you know, there was the Ty Power movie, which is pretty cool for
Ty Power movie was great, yeah.
And certainly Fairbanks, my God.
You watch the Fairbanks version, and he's very, he's a very madcap sort of rogue, you know. And that certainly set the tone for many Zorro movies to come. The original novel was printed in All Story magazine, so it was a pulp.
Johnson McCulley.
And the original title was The Curse of Capistrano. And much as I love the Zorro movies, when you watch the movies, you can't imagine anyone calling him a curse. And also when you look at Zorro, I mean, he's the absolute precursor of the Shadow and Batman.
No question.
So that's what I'm doing with him. I'm making him, he wears black for a reason. He strikes at night, you know.
Sure.
He doesn't ride through the town square in the middle of the day in the blazing sun in California wearing black, you know. Again, much as I love Zorro movies, I got to give it my own twist here.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
How about the telenovela? Have you watched it? I think that is the most fascinating splinter of the Zorro franchise.
I haven't, but it's kind of based on the Isabel Allende novel that came out.
And I was going to ask about that, yes.
The licensor owns the rights to that, so I get to basically cherry pick what I like out of
that's
that.
Cool.
And she had a lot of good stuff in there that I'm using. It's not by no means a straight adaptation of the book, and it's still kind of given my slant on things. It covers his youth, but we don't want it to just be all his youth. We want to have Zorro on screen somewhat. But again, by portraying him as this mysterious character of the night, you can kind of have him on screen and kind of not have him on screen at the same time. So.
Very cool, man. Very cool slate of stuff coming up. And as I said, when we're closer to the fall, we'll definitely do the full boat on Gretel and everything else that's coming up.
Great.
So.
Sounds good, man.
Dude, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, John.
Folks, the book is Super Frat, and the writer is Tony DiGirolamo, and the artist is Chris Moreno. And I'm not going to say your last name again, Tony, just so you know, but I'm glad to see you.
You said it correctly.
And, of course, also from Bart Simpson Comics as well, and Tony's a great writer and a funny man.
And the Simpsons, and anything else Bongo will let me write. I beg them to let me write Futurama. Maybe someday.
That'd be cool. Talk about Super Frat, man. This is your Animal House meets Heroes kind of book. Did I just do it for you?
That is correct. Thank you. And we do it online at superfrat.com. We do a strip a week, and then we put out the trade like we have now, the Spring Break Collection. We do a special story, sort of like the movie. The strips are like the episodes, and then like the movie is like the comic.
Very cool.
And so we're working on a lot of Superfrat stuff now. We just moved to our regular domain at superfrat.com. And we got a big project in the works. We really can't talk about it, but hopefully in the next couple of months we'll be making an announcement about that. Also working on a new project. Here, I'll show it to your podcast, even though you can't see it.
It's an audio thing, but that's all right. We'll all pretend.
Now I'm holding it in front of the
podcast. There you go. It really is a piece of paper, folks.
It's called ZombieCountry.com. It's an internet TV show with zombies.
Oh, that's great.
And
where will people be able to see it? On the website? Are you putting it anyplace else?
Right now it's just on ZombieCountry.com, but I'm sure the guys at Silent Devil and me will be doing something with it somewhere down the road. Right now we got one episode up, another episode same weekend as the Chicago Wizard World that we are currently at. So there'll be two episodes up, and we got a total of six shot. It's about two brothers who live on a farm, and their best friend is Jim, who's a zombie who's died up out back. And 95% of the population has been turned into zombies, but it hasn't really affected the brothers. They live in the farm in Wyoming in the middle of nowhere, and their grandfather stocked up with plenty of food and ammo because he went a little crazy after 9/11. And so they just try to get through their day. They play Scrabble. They shoot the zombies when there's too many of them. The zombies sometimes tear down their laundry, and sometimes they race the zombies when they're bored. And it's a sitcom with zombies, basically.
Very cool. Multimedia action from Tony. That's awesome. And, Duke, thank you very much. And check out superfrat.com and zombiecountry.com. Thanks, Tony.
Anytime.
I've never seen him work in watercolors, and it's fascinating to watch. I'm sitting here with Mike Oeming, and he's doing a beautiful watercolor painting of characters from Mice Templar. And he was just telling me about the significance of one of the mice and the owl.
Yeah, the universe is run by Wotan, who is basically God, or creator of the Mice Templar universe. And so the owls are very angelic-like creatures, but they're kind of scary. So you'll see a lot of owl imagery in our book.
How's the feedback been on Omega Flight?
The Omega Flight feedback's been great. I'm really, really happy with the way people responded to it, especially old-school Alpha Flight fans, because at first they were very concerned, to say the least,
sure,
about the concept and such. So when it came out, and they reacted really well to it, I was really, really happy.
Well, it sounds like it's working well, because I know that Guardian spinoff is coming up. And I forget who's doing that right now, but it's somebody interesting. It's an indie guy that's doing it.
Yeah.
I don't remember either. It's okay. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No. Well, what's interesting was I heard about it from a fan just recently, but I didn't even know.
I heard about it in San Diego.
Well, as long as people are happy, then that's cool, you know?
Well, Mice Templar comes out in September.
Yes,
and we'll do a full boat thing on to promote that. But while we're talking now, we got to acknowledge Red Sonja Spider-Man, which just got started.
Yes.
Enjoyed the first issue.
Cool. I'm glad. It's a lot of fun to do. I mean, my favorite part of that was getting to write Peter Parker. Peter Parker, so fun to write. I mean, everything you would imagine getting to write, you know, Spider-Man would be, you know?
Sure.
All that banter and the wisecracks, especially, you know, contrasting him against the Red Sonja universe, you know.
Well,
so,
and the transformation of the city to the Red Sonja kind of atmosphere. I mean, it's not really New Amsterdam, New York. It's much more back than that.
Yeah,
it's nice to see the feudal New York.
Yeah.
And Jameson as the scribe to...
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we'll definitely see what Jameson goes through and the other characters. Robbie Robinson actually played a pretty significant part of the story. That was really fun to actually do something with him, as opposed to him being the conscience to J. Jonah Jameson. He gets to run around, kick a little ass and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Well, what's going on with Powers? I just got the latest issue.
Issue 25, where we start the new format. Every issue, story-wise, runs about 30 pages. The actual book goes up to 40, so we have lots of new material, a lot more letters, columns, probably do some sketchbook stuff in the future. Working very, very hard to get Powers to come back out on a regular basis again. Because the last year or so of my life kind of got turned upside down. So that's kind of why the book's been late. And a lot of people have been giving Brian slack for writing too many things, whatever. But there's definitely stuff going on with me that slowed the book down.
All right, man.
But catching up on it, though. Working really hard to get that, you know, into full tilt again, so.
That's cool. Well, you're here at the con with Mac. You and I could throw down mythology all day, so I'm always ready to go.
I love that mythology talk in that interview. It was great. That was a lot of fun.
Well, we got to do it again, man, so we'll do it in the next couple of weeks in anticipation of my Stepler.
Yeah, because that's steeped in mythology. A lot of Celtic stuff is written into there. In fact, we're going to kind of borrow a page from Eric Schanauer's books where he would take...
That's awesome.
Yeah, he would take lessons about, you know, what he was referencing and then, you know, write a little thing about it in the back. We'll be doing that too, so.
Very cool. Well, I look forward to it, Mike, and thanks for saying hi, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yay.
Folks, it's Phil Hester, who you normally hear his name followed by Andy Parks, but really, as great of an artist as Phil is, he's a hell of a writer as well, and it's a pleasure to talk to you, Phil, and I'm sorry that we haven't had you on Word Balloon yet, so this is our first opportunity to talk on the podcast, so it's good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to talking to you more.
Tell me about, I know you've been doing a lot of writing. You've got things like The Atheist and... books that you've done too for Desperado as well for Joe Pruitt and things. So talk a little bit about some of the books that are out there right now.
Well, the aforementioned The Atheist, we're relaunching that because right now in the world of comics, The Atheist means the latest comic ever. So we're relaunching that as Antoine Sharp, and it's going to start coming out with a new number one and a new artist, Will Volley, who's a John McCree sort of protege and a really talented kid. And who actually just turned in the fourth issue of The Atheist, so it's finally done. And I'm writing a new fire breather ongoing at Image with Andy Coon. And Image is really behind us, and we're really excited about what's coming up there. And I'm going to be taking over The Darkness from Top Cow.
I did hear about that.
Right, in the coming year. And on top of that, I've always got a few... I just had a book debut today here at Wizard World called 13 Steps.
Okay, cool.
Right.
I heard about it. Yeah, and describe 13 Steps for the
13 bit. Steps is sort of about a 20-something werewolf who's in rehab to cure himself of his addiction to preying on human beings. And the other things in rehab are, you know, other archetypal monsters. So it's sort of about, you know, the identity politics of monsters. And you know, I've always got something cooking, you know, other little miniseries or graphic novels. But that's what's on the... here's another one. Okay.
Right. There you go. Before we get 13 Steps, it's being published by
Desperado.
Oh, very cool.
And then from Image later in the year, we're trying to get a lot of these in the can. I'll be doing a book called Golly, which is sort of a... what if Hellblazer were a carnival ride repairman? So sort of a redneck horror thing. Equal parts horror and humor. And I'm really happy with it. You can be typecast, you know, for certain things. And since The Coffin and Deep Sleeper, you know, were well reviewed and well liked. Uh-huh. And The Atheist is a horror book also. You know, Image was ready to let me do a humor book, which is, you know, kind of a stretch for me. But it's a horror humor book. But, it's a chance to be funny, and we think it works.
That's cool.
We think it's genuinely funny.
That's excellent. You know, the cool thing is about Phil is, and it blows most of the other publishers' minds when I speak to them. They all talk about how great his writing is, and they're like, we don't understand. He gets work from Marvel and DC. It's usually artwork. So hopefully more of these books are coming out. Finally, somebody at the Big Two is going to suddenly realize and go, you know who could be a good writer for this? Phil Hester. And I hope it happens soon, man, because, yeah, your stuff is entertaining itself. I've read a lot of your Desperado stuff. Joe handed me a bunch of stuff at the FX Con in Orlando, and I was able to catch up on a lot of it as well. So keep it up, man. And like I said, I do know something is brewing with you and Andy, and when it is announced, I will have you on, and we can talk about that more and talk about more of your work.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Well, you know, their names follow each other on most books and stuff that they draw together, so it's natural that if I'm going for Phil Hester, I got to talk to Andy Parks, and I'm always happy to talk to Andy. Much like Phil, I enjoy Andy's writing as much as I do his art. Andy, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, brother. I'm missing your glasses, but it's still good to see you.
I broke my glasses years ago.
We know.
You're like the best dressed man at the con, man. And I Pat Loika mentioned in San Diego, and you're putting us to shame again with your Greg Norman look today.
Yeah, fresh as a daisy, always.
You are. And I look like hell, but it's all right. But I have to ask you about the Daredevil Annual that is coming up. You got a story on it?
Yeah, it was really cool. Brubaker was a big fan of my Capote book, and we exchanged a few emails after that came out. And then when I met him in Kansas City a few months ago, he asked me if I wanted to write for Marvel, and I said I do, but frankly, I don't have any desire to go through 20 revisions of a pitch and all that stuff. Eventually, I'll have to do that, but right now, it's not really what I want to spend my time doing. So he said, well, we got an annual coming up. I could plot it, and you could write it, and then you have to deal with that. So the editor read Capote and liked it enough to give me a job, and then Ed and I had a chat about what the story would be, and he wrote a great little three-page synopsis, and I went and wrote the script. It's been really fun and really educational for me, because I don't think there's anybody right now more efficient and tighter and just with a better method of doing monthly superhero comics than Ed. So having him kind of read what I was doing and say, hey, you're doing great stuff, but you need to strip it down and be more efficient. It's been a good little class in how to write superhero comics.
That's cool. I'm a big fan of Capote in Kansas and also, of course, Union Station. And I understand you've got some other ideas for other projects, and you're going to step away from the historical comic books for now.
I am, yeah. The next Oni, well, it may not come out next, but I'm working on an Oni graphic novel now called Blood Red that's a futuristic revenge story set on Mars. And then Oni and I are going to bring back my Uncle Slam character to put out a one-shot during the election cycle next year to kind of make fun of that nonsense. And something else in Oni that's kind of early stages, so I do want to go back to historical fiction at some point. I have some ideas that I want to explore, but I don't want to just be that guy. So I wanted
the John Jacobs of comic books.
Right. So I wanted to step away too and surprise people a little bit with each project.
That's cool. And not only a great writer and artist, but also a fellow podcaster with Will Flipson, if you people aren't aware of it. Is it at willflipson.com? Do you guys have your own domain?
It is. Yeah, you can find us on iTunes searching Will Flipson, or you can go to willflipson.com. Either one will work. And we've been kind of, we all got stressed out and busy, so we haven't had new content in a while, but there's Best of Horatio Delmonico, who's my dysfunctional psychic guy, and we did one new bit for that, and there's going to be more new stuff coming, so I just got to do the voices for the new Horatio. That was fun.
Very cool. See, and, you know, actually, there's got to be a day where I'll be doing Dan DiDio, and you'll be doing somebody. By the way, everything that you and Phil are doing, totally wrong. I want you to redraw everything, but other than that, everything's fine, so... No, dude, it's good to see you, and yeah, check out Will Flipson, and obviously check out when Phil and Andy are drawing books and when they're both writing books, so thanks, Andy.
Thanks a lot, brother.
I'm talking with Andy Owens, who's the anchor of Green Arrow and other projects, and something that immediately popped out at me, I had to acknowledge, was Buffy Season 8. Talk to me about working on Buffy Season 8.
It was a lot of fun. Working with Joss is great. He's a real nice guy. He's funny. The book, being a Buffy fan, it's... I worked on Buffy before, but it's not the same. Now it is
the same.
No,
you're right.
It's a blast. I mean, the fan reaction is great. The sales are great, and I get to work on Buffy again. It's fun. You know, cute girls and little skirts.
Nothing wrong with that. So, are you working on future arcs as well, or
oh, all of them?
That's excellent. So you can work on now. So Joss has the one shot.
No, Joss has the entire series mapped out, and then he's writing certain arcs, and then he's got. He's got other artists, like the second arc is Brian K. Vaughan.
Right.
And Joss says, okay, can you take your face story and interweave it with my plot?
So
Brian K. Vaughan, who wrote fantastic, leads up the first, I've got the first three issues, and they were fantastic, they were great. He's writing a couple, then I think Joss is coming back for two, and then one of the writers of the TV show is coming in for a couple, and I think then Joss comes back, and then Jeff Loeb, you know.
Yeah, Jeff was coming up.
Yeah, a bunch of big-name writers, but they all have to follow his guidelines. So he really is producing it, just like the TV show.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. I really like that. I think that's neat, that angle of him kind of being the showrunner of this comic book.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, yeah.
So Green Arrow's wrapping up, but are you involved with the wedding stuff as well?
No. We're done with that. Okay. We moved on to Scott McDaniel. I moved on to Batman Confidential. But we did an issue and a half, and they pulled us off of it. It can take place any time, so they're going to sit on those issues. And then they want us on a thing called Countdown the Arena, which is has to get done quickly. It'll be coming out in December. It's 4 issues, 38 pages each, and it comes out weekly. And so that's going to just, we're going to be so swamped with that.
And is that the story with the Monarch taking all the various characters from?
Yes. So that's kind of cool. The first 9 pages, we were doing Batman from Gotham by Gaslight, Superman from Dark Knight Returns, Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon from Thrill Killer, and put them all in one.
Oh, that's great.
So you've got to try to match the style, but still make it look like us. So it's interesting. And a lot of design work and research, and that on top of the tight deadline.
Now, that's an interesting leap, you and McDaniel from Raritan and Shaken on Thrill Killer, so that's going to be very cool to see.
Yeah, well, it's tough, because I don't want to lose what we do.
Sure.
But, you know, when you do Frank Miller, you've got to make it look... You have to identify that that's what it is.
Sure.
So you've got to look at... Like, I pulled out The Dark Knight the other day, and I was looking, going, okay, how did Klaus Janson make it? Okay, I can't quite do that, just because it wouldn't fit the rest of it, but I can do little things to make it look like it. But you can tell pretty much who it is. And it's kind of fun. I mean, there's a double-page spread with probably 50 characters, and we're probably going to work on that slowly. Like, because if we worked on that, we'd spend an entire week and a half working on the double-page spread. So we're slowly going to get that done over the next couple of weeks, as we're doing regular pages. So it's fun. It'll be a good book. And great writing. Pete Champagne is a good writer.
No,
a fellow inker who's moved on to writing.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I just talked to Eddie. Any ambitions for yourself of doing writing or anything?
No, I don't have any stories to tell. I mean, I'll get a shred of one, but I'd never follow through with it. I don't think of myself as a writer. Maybe someday I'll get back into penciling or something, but right now I'm so busy inking that I don't have time to even think about anything else.
Well, you got big event books coming up, so congratulations, and we definitely look forward to what's going on at Dark Horse in D.C., so thanks a lot, Eddie.
Thank you.
Every year at Wizards of Chicago, I speak to Don Kreimer while he is sketching. And this year, as opposed to I know a couple years ago it was Black Adam. I can't remember what it was last year. But this year it's something fun and unique. It's Amethyst.
Right now, yeah. It has been Black Adam and Batman earlier, but this is the Amethyst one. I've kind of been holding off on this one. So.
Well, she looks good so far, man. You got a good reference for her and everything.
That works.
Yeah.
It works.
I was just asking you, I imagined and envisioned that Don living in Bourbonnais, Illinois, that's where the Bears training camp is, that... You know, pass patterns are like flying through Don's backyard or whatever, and the Bears are just like, you know, trampling his azaleas as they go out for a long pass or something like that. Any interference from the Bears so far during training camp season?
Yeah, they get pissed when I tell them that they're out of bounds, though. You know, it doesn't work out that way, you know what I mean?
The trick is to keep the ball. See, this time you don't get the ball back, you know.
You know, when you have 9 big football players, you give the ball back, especially when you don't have pads.
So, Don, how are things on Detective?
Doing well.
And I like the subtlety of the Joker looking like Chris Angel Mind Freak guy. Well, he didn't look like Mind Freak, but it was clearly, I'm assuming the character was kind of based on that.
Actually, in the script, he did say kind of a cross between Chris Angel and Marilyn Manson. You know,
oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Kind of an edgy, like, modern look with a bit of the Joker visage, you know, inside there. You can kind of see a little Joker in there after you realized who he was.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was actually the interesting thing is when we created the character, I had no idea he was meant to be the Joker or anything else, though. So when he was first appeared in, like, 824, and, yeah, that's when he gave me the description, and we were working on this particular issue. I really didn't know it until we were about halfway through the issue that this was a Joker story, you know?
Oh, wow.
Because we were working through the script, and I didn't have the full script at the time, and I was working from the portions that I did have. And I discovered that about halfway through that it was the Joker. And I was like, oh, this changes a lot of what's going on here, you know? So,
well, now that this story is wrapped up, and I don't want to spoil, but can you tell us anything about the next story arc that's coming up?
Last I heard, I don't think I'm really spoiling anything, though. I think we're touching on a Mad Hatter story.
Cool.
The next story.
Oh, that's great.
So,
playing a little bit with what Gale did with the Mad Hatter in Secret Six?
Quite possibly. I'm not sure. I don't have the script yet. But,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about that the other out in San Diego. And it should be fun. You know, I mean, what Paul does with all the villains is just superb. You know, so
was that your first face to face with Paul?
Actually, I met the first face to face since I began working with him.
Okay.
I've met him once before, about 2 or 3 years ago though, but this is the first time that I ever had a chance to actually talk with him while I was, you know, since I started working with him. So, but yeah, it was great. Yeah, I got to meet him, and we had a long chat and had dinner. It was great.
Dude, you came in as an understudy, but you've obviously, you know, you hit the ground running, and I've enjoyed the run. You've had some great highlight moments, like the story about Robin and the Joker in the car. I was telling you about that one in San Diego a couple weeks ago. That at the end of last year, that was really, that it is one of the best single-issue Batman stories I've read in a really long time. And you guys both nailed it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That was a very fun story. I mean, every time I get to draw the Joker, it's always fun, you know. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with Joker. The Joker-Batman story is... it's always fun, you know.
Excellent. Andy Owen has broken out the granola bar, so I'm going to let Don eat, and I'll just say thanks, and looking forward to everything you got coming up, and we'll talk again, and we'll do the full-length one. I promise you, we've got to do the full-length one, because we should talk more about the career of Don Kramer. It's always a pleasure seeing you.
Good.
Thanks, man. It's Andrew Peepoy, everyone, one of Chicago's very own, and I didn't talk to you in San Diego, because I knew I'd see you here in our hometown. But I want to start off by talking about that San Diego panel in San Diego. Tell me about the Fables panel. Was it fun?
Yeah, no, we had a good time up there. You know, the fans, you know, it's great to see the fan reaction. I mean, what, the Fables solo panel actually had a better turnout than the Vertigo as a whole panel. So,
that's cool.
You know, we packed the room, you know, no more chairs, everyone was standing back, so it's nice to see that kind of reaction.
Now, are things going on Jack and on Fables?
You know, Jack, you know, we're moving along on it. There's you know, we're sort of... moving in sort of double speed to get moving ahead on some new storylines, and we've got another artist besides Tony Akins coming in to do a few issues, a guy named Russ Brown. He's actually helped out on the last couple issues we've done, 13 that just came out and 14, which we're just finishing up at the moment, and then he's going to be penciling 17 through 19, and then there's actually a fill-in guy on issue 18, Andrew Robinson's going to be penciling an 18, the special Halloween Jack issue. But, you know, Tony and I are still the regular team on there, and you know, having a good time doing it. So.
Very cool. And I noticed behind you had some bongo work going on. What do you got? Can you talk about the Simpsons work?
I can talk about bongos.
Let's talk about the Simpsons then. What do you got? Or whatever bongo work you got. Is it Futurama or is it Simpsons?
Both. Mostly, well, I seem to be, you know, though there are no regular people on any of their books, I seem to have sort of become the sort of semi-regular inker on Futurama. I've done most of the issues in the last year, and like right now I'm working on one, and I've got two more coming up right following that. So doing lots of Futurama.
Who are the artists that you're penciling over?
Oh, that I'm inking over? I could pencil over them. They wouldn't be happy about that, but, you know, I mean, you know.
Got to keep the mistakes in, Andrew. It's all right. I'll jam myself on that one. Go ahead.
I'm inking all sorts of guys. You know, I'm inking... Well, this right here that I'm making is for the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror special out in October over Tone Rodriguez.
Oh, cool. That's great.
And then Futurama, the issue I'm working on right now is a guy named Carlos Valenti.
Okay.
That's really nice stuff. After that, it'll be Mike Cazala, who I've inked a lot of issues of Futurama with lately. He's, you know, you may remember him from Marvel's Ren and Stimpy comic.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, James Lloyd, who's a real bongo mainstay. He's been with them for years and always bouncing around from book to book, doing a lot of work for them. So you get him on one after that. And then I've also got a James Lloyd Ralphie story coming up.
Oh, great.
So,
excellent. Always a Simpson favorite. That's cool. I haven't even seen the movie yet. Have you seen the movie?
No. I mean, the movie came out during San Diego. So I was busy with San Diego. And as soon as I got back from San Diego, kind of been working like mad to try to catch up from that and try to get a little bit ahead so I could come to this show. And then for the next week, I'll be so busy getting trying to caught up from this show that I won't be. Who knows when I'll be? I'll be at some point.
I was just saying, 3 weeks, we'll go see it because I've been busy too, and it's like post-con. It's worse for you guys, but even radio, believe me, keeps me busy too. So hopefully we'll be able to see that. And, great success continued on all the Fable stuff and the Bongo stuff and everything you do. Anything else you want to promote?
Well, you know, I'm working on a new Katie King 22-pager for the Katie trade. There'll be a trade coming out next year collecting all the short stories I did running in Archie and Friends. And then this new 22-pager will sort of tell you how Katie King got to be the, you know, glamorous, famous Katie King that you've seen in the comics, how she went from, you know, small-town girl to a big star. And then, of course, after that, you know, if you don't mind me plugging one more thing, because this is my big thing that I'm doing, is I can't really say who I'm doing it for yet, but I can say that Simone and Ajax, my characters from the 90s, if any of you read them in some, you know, mythography or Arrow Anthology or, you know, all those other places, they're coming back.
I'm going to be, besides collecting all the material from the 90s, I'm going to be doing two brand new full-color graphic novels with them. Usual, same wackiness you expect, just hopefully better after all these years. And so, already turned in some script for the first one and getting ready to start drawing it. So, and planning just, good, silly, fun adventures with, girl and her little dinosaur pal.
Excellent, man. Andrew Peepboy of many publishers and many works, but you see his name and he always does great work. And dude, thanks for talking to us.
Great, thanks a lot.
Last year, one of the more entertaining stories that I read from Devil's Due was Lost Squad, and I've got the writer Chris Kirby with me. And Chris, I'm glad to finally see you because I know we were both looking for each other last year and we missed each other, so I'm glad to see you this year.
Cool, thanks, man. I really appreciate the interest.
I'm glad the trade has been flying off your table today. I think that's awesome. And I remember hearing a few months ago that there's been movement on a potential movie. I don't know if there's anything new to talk about. Is that still in the works?
Yeah, well, last year we sold the rights to Rogue Pictures and Universal, and that was back in August. And just recently, as of June, they've hired St. Lair and Mather. That's what they call themselves. They're an Irish team duo. They do a lot of green screen stuff. They've hired them to write and direct it, so they're an Irish duo. They have a 50-minute short online called Pray Alone. And it's fantastic. When I saw it back in March, when the producer said these are the guys we're thinking of, I was blown away. So
cool. It's
going to be, if they pull off what they've done with the low budget stuff, I mean, Rogue is going to be, and myself will be really happy.
And for those who didn't see the original series when it came out, Lost Squad is available in trade paperback from Devil's Due. Give people a description of Lost Squad.
Lost Squad is basically an elite team that's been put together to fight the weird and strange battles of World War II. They fight demon soldiers, jetpack commandos, spider tanks. We get a little bit of magic and mysticism in there thrown in there as well. It's kind of Dirty Dozen meets X-Files type thing. A little Hellboy maybe thrown in.
I think you hit the war genre at the right time, Chris, because I see a lot of books that have followed, and very good books, very quality books and stuff, and you were there first with a quality book, so I think that's great, man.
Well, yeah, I think also the artwork kind of, we've gone with a little different artwork. Alan Robinson, who's a terrific artist from South America, he lives in Chile, has a real different style, too, that kind of pops, that when he and I first got together on the digital webbing board, he was a guy that I just knew that I had to work with, and so we kind of developed a project that came out through digital webbing, and we got such a good reaction from his artwork that we decided to kind of push ahead with it, and Devil's Due thankfully picked it up.
What do you got coming up?
You know what? I don't have anything right now. I'm just kind of finishing the Lost Squad. We'd like to do two one-shots, probably do big chunks, either 40 or 48 pages, sort of following along with how Hack Slash has done stuff.
Sure.
Tim Seeley's great book. And we're hoping to kind of follow along with that. And then after that, who knows? I've got something that I'd like to throw to Image, but I've not heard anything about it, so I can't really talk about it. One of those teaser things. So.
Well, hopefully it'll break soon, and when it does, we'll talk and talk again. But look for it, folks. Lost Squad, and the name again of that short that the Lost Squad filmmakers made.
It's called Pray Alone. If you go to Saint, S-A-I-N-T, and Mather.com, you can see the preview, and there's I think there's a link to the actual short, and it's on YouTube as well too.
Okay.
And I've got it on my site too, lost-squad.com. That's the blog. So.
There you go. Excellent, man. Chris Kirby, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thanks, John.
It's Sunday and everyone's voice is an octave lower, but I have to acknowledge the fact that I'm talking to Dave Wachter from Dial R Studios, and I have seen Scar Tissue, the book that Dave draws, from issue one all the way to now the collected trade, which is finally here. And Dave, it was a great story, and congratulations on a great production.
Well, thank you.
You like them short, sweet answers,
exactly.
Don't you, John?
All right, it was great talking to you, Dave. Take care.
All right, good talking to you, John. No, I mean, it's what a long, strange trip it's been. But
thank you. Were you at commencement? That's good.
Yeah. No, it was, we're moving now. Our lives are ahead of us. Good times, good friends. No, I mean, it's been, this is our first book, and it's just been a big, huge learning process and a big learning curve and going from the beginning to see where it is now. And I'm really proud with what we've been able to do and what we've put together, and it's really fun seeing the book collected up in a nice big, it's great first to have that first book printed up, but then to have five issues collected into a nice something that looks like go on a bookshelf, has a nice little spine and everything, yeah, it makes me feel real good.
Great illustrations, and throughout the run you experimented a little bit, both inside the book and out. You had the great Frazetta-style tribute cover of issue, I believe, four.
Yeah, that was issue four. Yeah, all the color issues had
tribute homage covers. Yeah, the Frazetta one was one I was particularly proud of. The Gustav Klimt one, the John Byrne one. What was the other one? Oh, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and the Kirby one. So,
for those who don't know the concept behind scar tissue, give them the pitch, because, I mean, I certainly know the story, but let's update the fans who haven't heard our earlier interviews. Yeah.
Well, scar tissue is about a young man, a teenager, who gets a heart transplant, and it turns out that that heart came from a murdered supervillain. That's the short pitch.
So did he get the powers, or, you know?
Read the book, John. No, but yeah, he starts to hear, and he gets on a treadmill, and after recovery, he lives his life to the end.
Yeah.
No.
It's a slice of life.
He basically starts to exhibit strange powers. He starts to hear the voice of the heart's former owner, and then there's a villainess who wants that power for herself. Meanwhile, the superhero that killed off the supervillain comes into play, and it's also about him and his relationship with his two brothers and how they get along and sort of wanting to live a normal life but not being allowed to and being roped into all this superhero nonsense.
And you guys did a great job, and it's you and Jim, and I always forget Jim's last name.
Jim Clark.
Jim Clark, thank you very much.
Listed as J. Andrew Clark.
Fantastic. So what else you got coming up, man?
Well, I'm working on a pitch for another book with Colin Bunn, and we'll see how that goes.
Great.
Also, originally Jim and I were going to be doing an annual sort of edition of Scar Tissue, maybe a flip book with like two stories. But then I told him my idea for a Western that I have, and he wanted to help me write that. So we're going to be working on a Western that I'm going to be co-writing. I want to sort of get my writing chops back, and I thought a good way to do it would be to work with somebody who I know that I like their writing and I could work with. So we're just bouncing ideas back and forth, working on that concept, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we're just really excited about it. We're in sort of the brainstorming, outlining stage, so it's a lot of energy and a lot of phone calls and emails, and that's going to be great. That's going to be something that we're going to be putting together. Hopefully I'll have for something next year. We'll start seeing that.
Very cool. Dave Wachter, Dial R Studios, Scar Tissue. Thanks a lot for talking to us. I'll talk to you soon.
I like it when these yearly customs become annual traditions, John.
Take care, man.
Thank you.
It's America's Guest, ladies and gentlemen. I saw him in San Diego, and it's always a pleasure. And he lives in San Diego, so the Chicago Con is not a big deal for him. Now I get to see him in my home turf. It's Pat Loika. Pat, good to see you.
Good seeing you, John.
So tell me about Dial R has this book, Pantheon.
That's right. Pantheon is a two-book anthology. It has a total of 15 stories, and it features everyone at the Dial R Studio stable, all 17 of the original members, including some of our friends who did some extra work with us. And it ranges all the genres. It has fantasy. There's some crime in there. There's superhero stuff, slice of life. Everything you can think of is in these two books.
Very cool. How things going with Path to Armageddon?
Path to Armageddon webcomic actually just launched. We released a zero issue a couple weeks back. And the Path to Armageddon trade, which collects the miniseries we've had in the over the past couple of years, is going to be coming out soon with some extra content. And after that, we'll launch the ongoing webcomic.
Excellent. And how are the hotel stories? Pat's day gig is a manager at a San Diego hotel. And Pat is the king of the bizarre stories of strange things happening when you rent a room at his place.
It's actually basis for this webcomic we do. It's called Whole Cow. I do it with artist Chris Mays, and basically it's autobiographical in a way. It's also humor. It's bizarre horror even.
It is.
I mean, it's one thing when you're working at 11 at night. Some old guy comes up to you and tells you to come to the pool. There's a very horrible thing going on. And you walk into a butt-fucking conga line of 10 men.
That's the podcast, by all means, man.
Gay Pride weekend. And next thing you get to witness something like this. It's amazing and it's horrifying at the same time. So you see crazy things in the hotel biz.
There we go. That's good. This will be a spike in the ratings. I appreciate that, Pat. That's a fine story. The kind of humor you can find in HoCal. So very cool, man. And it's always great to see you. And Pat is like one of the best values as far as sketches, because the guy gives you full-color sketches. They're always impressive. I'm looking at a great Beta Ray Bill right now, and a gray armored Iron Man with the
Iron Man suit ever.
Absolutely, with the new suit silhouetted in the background. So always gorgeous work at a very reasonable price from Pat Loika, who does great comic work, great web work, and also great sketch work. So good talking to you, man.
Thank you, John. I'll see you next year.
Absolutely, man.
Remember the New York hotel story. Sean McKeever's condom in my room.
More horrific tales in hotels from Pat Loika. Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
We'll be talking about a new book from Image that is coming out in December, but it's being previewed here at Wizard Chicago. The book is called The Overman, and the creative team is Scott Reed and Shane White. And I'll start off by saying that Shane and I have a good connection, because Shane is the man who developed the Word Balloon logo out of the goodness of his heart, and it's something that I've been using for the past 3 years. So I'll start off and say, Shane, thank you for the awesome logo that everyone now recognizes Word Balloon by.
Hey, no problem, man. You know, when I saw your website.
It was a pretty crude website.
It was a crude website, but I took pity on you. And I believed in the product, so I said, you know, I really want to give it my best shot. So, yeah, I thought I'd throw something together, see what you thought.
Well, I appreciate it, and I believe in this product because I've enjoyed Shane's art, and he has given me his fine NBM book called North Country that was a wonderful personal story that really showed his interesting styles of art. And from what you were telling me, too, you're incorporating sections of that book in your storytelling for The Overman.
Yeah, a lot of the of North Country was a big experiment, basically, trying to different color techniques, different storytelling techniques. And when it came to doing The Overman, I knew that I wanted a certain look for it. And so I wanted it to be very non-science fiction, as you see in film. And I wanted to have maybe a little more warmth to it, where there would usually be a cold feel.
Okay.
A little more grit, where there would be super clean. And so Scott basically just let me run with it. So for like 3 months, I just developed and did pre-production art before I even started doing any of the book itself. So, you know, overall, I think, you know, we finally got it nailed down, and then when we went to pitch it, it was so much easier because we knew what we were talking about, we believed in what we were going to do, and it was just a lot easier to sell it to Image. So.
Very cool. And Scott, give you the opportunity to give us the pitch on The Overman for people who have, you know, they won't see the preview until October. So for now, let's talk about the book and give us the background on it.
The pitch is kind of two-layered. It's a straightforward action science fiction story. So you can enjoy it on that level. There's another layer below that. We've got a lot of symbolism, a lot of symbolic representation. The story goes back to Nietzsche and Nietzsche's some of his philosophy about rising above humanity and endings and beginnings. The symbol of the Overman is incorporated into the logo, which is just a magical kind of accident. It's just like, you know, this is why we need to work on this book, because all of these things sort of just arrived in the right place. And Shane and I have been working on it for a long time, on and off. We say 20 years in the making, but, you know, we haven't really been working on it 20 years, you know, every day. We kind of came back to it every couple of years. We would just pick it up and say, you know what, let's try this thing again. Let's see if we can do it. And each time we tried it, we would get so far into it and realize, you know, this is a huge story, it's bigger than us, and we're not ready. And so we would reapproach it. He and I would go our separate ways, and, you know, we've both done things in comics, and we just sort of grew as artists and writers and creators, and eventually came back to it. In 2000, I just sat down and wrote the book. I just wrote a novel, and it just sparked for me, the stars aligned, or whatever you want to call it, and I wrote it, and I just started emailing it to Shane in chapters and increments, and he got excited about it, and it kind of fed me, too. That kind of fed the flame, you know, because he was writing back, and it's like, yeah, this is happening, you know. So I finished the book, and that's really when it really started for real. We were both felt like we're at a place in our careers where, you know, we can handle this. This is a story it's a big story, but I felt like I was up to it. I knew Shane had the chops, and that's kind of That's kind of how it started. I'm not really speaking to the plot itself. But yeah, that's kind of the origins of how the thing started.
Okay.
Well, and here we are now.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the preview that you guys sent me, the PDF, it looks cool, and it is a thinking man's action story, and you know, we can get into it more when we do the full length interview. Right when it is in previews, and we'll talk about it more. But I'm glad I had this floor opportunity to kind of get the buzz started for the Overman, which is well deserved. Scott Reed and Shane White, I wish you guys luck, and we'll be talking in the fall and talk a little bit more about this project. It's Christian Baranek from Silent Devil Productions, who put out wonderful books. One of my personal favorites, of course, Dracula versus King Arthur. I see the trade there, among other books too. There's a transition period right now for the imprint. Talk to me about it, man.
Well, basically what my brother and I are doing is scaling back from publishing and going more into production work. Recently, there's a few deals which I can't announce. I've optioned like 4 films in the past 2 months, and I'm writing 2 screenplays back to back. So it's just been sort of a little crazy. And so for us to really be objective, I feel that we need to sort of scale back our publishing efforts and do a good job with this other stuff that just came up. We're going to just go with our contracts we have right now, finish up some things, and get going full steam on that. So, yeah.
And what books right now would you like to promote in terms of what Silent Devil is offering right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have Halloween Man in previews right now. Drew Edwards and then Nicola Scott from Birds of Prey did the artwork for it. And then we also have Division 18 coming out. It's like the unit of novelty costume performers. It's a really funny book. After that, though, what I think might be Silent Devil's finest hour is a 2-part series called Astronaut Dad. It's by David Hopkins and Brent Scubner, the guy that did Horrorwood. David Hopkins did Antigone for us, a really great book. And it's just fantastic, so we're very excited about it.
I've seen the preview pictures of Astronaut Dad. It looks fantastic, man. Yeah, it looks like a great story. And it has that, it's funny, it's kind of that, you can't help but think of Rocket Man when you kind of see the concepts and stuff. Or even, and both Rocket Man and the Bradbury story, but I think of the Elton John song as well, man, you know?
Mix it up, man. I'm a big fan of both Bradbury and Elton John, so.
What else can we talk about? We got Death Comes to Dillinger. I see James Patrick's fine book there as well. And, of course, there's Raven Gregory. Raven, you can come up and say hey, man. I know you guys have the Xenoscope connection as well and 7 and all that stuff, so you guys were involved with that. Raven, how you been?
Hey, John. How's it going, man?
You're very good. What do you got at the con that you're promoting this weekend?
Return to Wonderland 2 and exclusive and all things Wonderland.
Raven is wearing the con on his face right now. Raven is... Exactly. I'm the same way, man. I know it's Sunday. We're all just like our asses are dragging, but I did want to come by and see you guys and acknowledge the good stuff that you guys always have at the cons. And I got to go find Moreno and bug him at his booth as well for all the stuff that he does. And that's great because you see the different sides of some of these creators at places like Silent Devil. You mentioned Nicola Scott, and you can see her work represented here as well, pre-Birds of Prey, but excellent work in Halloween Man. And Chris Moreno's another example of that, a guy who can do great action but also great cartoon work as well.
Exactly. Well, Moreno, he's going to be here to stay. You know, he's going to be one of the greats down the road. He's fantastic workmanship. You know, he knows how to tell stories. He's actually a pretty good writer, too. So he's a double threat and funny as hell. So if you guys ever get a chance to meet him, I definitely make your way over to his table, definitely.
I should go over and talk to Sean as well and acknowledge the sin of Mark Grimm. Sean McManus, absolutely.
Hello.
How's the Cinemark Grim going, man?
I think it's going fairly well. We sold out of the second issue here at the show, so I think that's a good sign.
Cool. Issue 4 is out already?
4 is out, and actually we sold the last one we had here now, too, a little while ago, which is sort of strange.
That's excellent, man. No, it's a great Dark Noir story. Again, more Christopher Moreno art, showing a different side of Chris's work.
Yes, Chris is a man.
See?
Well, what can I say? I mean, what? It's that simple.
Well, you're the man, too. You're a fine writer, but it's a good combination, man.
Crime books rule.
No, it's cool, man. I know you're Roach. I will ask you one last raspy question. That is, how close are we to the trade?
I don't know. We're talking about it right now, and I was in... They're interested.
Okay.
They're interested. There's a couple of people interested. I was talking to some people doing an introduction and stuff like that. We're talking about getting some new, maybe a cover artist for something different than what we've seen already, stuff like that.
Excellent. And people can sample this online as well, correct?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we just started a thing last month. I don't know if you saw it with Comflix.net, comflix.net. Basically, what they're doing is they're taking the original art, Chris's original art, Basically animating based on that. So I've got voice actors, it's got sound effects. We actually got a theme song and stuff too. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great, man. Oh, we'll check that out. All right, save your voice. I wanted to say hey, but good to see you, Sean.
It's good to see you.
Thank you very much, boys. While he's searching for a card, I'll say I'm talking to Ralph Tedesco from Zenoscope Books. Among their books, Grimm's Fairy Tales. And, of course, they were doing the 7th series. Am I correct? Yeah. And a lot of wonderful writers and artists on that series. And I was just talking to a couple of them right now, Raven Gregory and the Baronix and everything. So.
Yeah, I mean, Return to Wonderland, we debuted it a couple months ago, and it just really flew off shelves. I mean, it's doing great for us. So, and Raven knocked it out of the park. I mean, we couldn't be happier with that series. I mean, the Grimm Fairy Tales really, I mean, that's what we came out of the gate with, and it really just kind of blew up for us. And then with the Return to Wonderland, it seemed like that even caught more of the public's eye, I guess. And it's just been a fun ride.
What other genres are you guys working on? Are you sticking in horror? Or?
Right now, actually, we're doing this thing called The Living Corpse, a new series we're coming out with. And that's sort of like horror, but mixed with the comedy. But we, you know, we do have some plans for down the road of doing something a little bit more. We have a fantasy book coming out. We actually have a kids book planned for down the road too.
Oh,
so
cool.
We're gonna stray a little bit from the horror.
Very cool, man. I've enjoyed the 7 books a lot, and you've got great, you know, licenses like the Final Destination license as well.
Yeah.
And good luck with the horror stuff and the new projects that are coming up, man. Thanks for saying hey.
Appreciate it.
I got two of my favorite writers with me. I'm happy to speak with Rafael Nieves and Gary Reed. Gary, you're pointing out your new books to me. The Illustrated Jack the Ripper, St. Germain, Tales of an Immortal, of Scenes and Stories, and Ghost Sonata and the Dead World Collection.
Yep.
I asked Gary, I'm like, do you have any new books? He's like, I've got 5 new books. I'm like, fantastic. So start talking, Gary. Tell me about the books.
Well, most of these are compilations of the Caliber stuff. Jack the Ripper was a comic we did, and Mark Bloodworth did the art. We expanded it, added original art back from the time period, added some Doré illustrations of London. St. Germain, Tales of an Immortal is the second St. Germain. The first one was put out by Image. This one collects issues 5-8, and 2 one-shots, Casanova and The Man in Iron Mask. Dead World is a collection of short stories called Bits and Pieces. It's about 170 pages of short stories that appeared in Dead World throughout the 50, 60, 70 issues run. Ghost Sonata is a 4-issue series that was done in High Caliber with Andy Bennett. And in my favorite book, of Scenes and Stories, a bunch of my short stories and scenes. It's got a great lineup of artists like Guy Davis, Vince Block, Jim Calafiore, Michael Gatiss, Michael Lark, Patrick Zerker, David Mack, lots of other ones. That's a great book. I recommend it for everybody.
Excellent, man.
I don't want to hog your conversation.
No, it was good. It was excellent. I'm moving on. We transitioned to Raph. Raph's the man who put the Chicago Mob together, and thank you, Raph. There you go. Guess you take a bite of granola while we're talking. So, Raph, what are you promoting at the show this week?
Actually, I'm just I brought up some of my old stuff and some you know, my old Vampire the Masquerade and some of my my other Moonstone books. I'm also promoting the Phantom Maneaters that I did for Moonstone, done in the Wide Vision format, where every double page has a single illustration, the rest of it is text. It was great fun. I've got some great illustrations done by Vachi Mavlian, a great artist. But for the most part, I'm here supporting the other members of the mob.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We'll be talking to them, but I enjoyed Maneaters. I think the art is gorgeous. And I remember last year at San Diego at the Phantom panel when this was discussed, and it's beautiful to see the book out, and it's at a great bargain, too. It's $12.95, so pretty cool, man.
John, you've always been a man of taste and distinction. I appreciate that.
I'm a patron, man. You know that. So thanks for putting this together, and I'm sorry I wasn't sitting at my table more, but I've been busy running around going crazy. Hey, Garrett, what do we got here? We got
Grant Fusion, a new publishing company formed by Raph and myself. Just started this week. Come to think of it. So it's a new company. We're going direct to the consumer, selling online. The 5 books I mentioned earlier are all part of Transfusion. We have about 27 other books already to go. We're not going to release them all at once, of course. And we're talking to a lot of people here to get some anthologies together. So it's a lot of exciting news. People should stay tuned.
That's cool. Absolutely. Raph, what do you got in the pipeline for Transfusion?
Well, let's see. I've got a couple of my I'm taking basically 20 years of short stories. I'm basically ripping off Gary's idea. And I'm going to be doing a compendium of that called Odd Bits of Illustrated Fiction. And then I've got a few new projects. Blackbirds, you may finally see the light of day.
Tony Maldonado.
That's one of the new projects we're doing through Transfusion. And I'm also going to be finally releasing The Bells, which is originally published by Caliber. We're bringing it back with the original story, two new adaptations, a pin-up gallery, and some bio information. I'm really excited about that. I'm looking forward to doing some really great stuff with Transfusion.
Excellent. So look for it online, folks. It's do you have your domain already? Transfusion.com? And the first five are...
Transfusion.biz.
Excuse me, Transfusion with a Z, .biz. And the first five books are up there, and more to come from Transfusion. So, Gary Reed, Raphael Nieves, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
It's been a year, but we got to check in with B. Clay Moore because I'm always happy to talk to him, and I'm always pissed that he never wants to do a full-length word balloon because I can't talk about it yet, you know. So, what's going on, man?
I can't talk about it.
There you go. Exactly. All right. It was great seeing you, though. I was glad to say hi.
No, actually, we're soliciting a new Hawaiian Dick series for November, so that's going to be the next preview. It's going to be an ongoing book. If you don't know Hawaiian Dick, go to HawaiianDick.com or Wikipedia. There's lots of information out there. But we're going to try to do an ongoing this time with the original artist, Stephen Griffin, is coloring over Scott Chantler, who is an artist who recently drew a Tech Jansen comic book and did a book called Northwest Passage. You know, and he's a
big fan of the Northwest Passage. Only
it's a great book. And, he's
and
doing
Scandalous with Jay Torres.
Scandalous and Days Like This with Jay Torres. And after that, probably in January, we're going to be doing a book called 76, which is...
long awaited.
Yeah, it's kind of a street-level action book with two different stories, one set in Los Angeles, one set in New York in 1976. The one I'm doing is called Jackie Karma, and he's like a white kung fu warrior from the 60s who's come out of retirement to deal with some trouble. An artist named Ed Tatum is drawing that. And then on the other side of that book is a story called Cool by writer Seth Peck, who's right now doing something with Rick Remender called Sorrow, and an artist named Ty Walker, and that is a couple bounty hunters in like I said, in L.A., who deal with a drug-dealing dwarf and an ex-porn star hitman and a call girl stripper who's got a suitcase of money, and it's a great book. So doing those two things, probably early next year I'll have my first DC workout, which will be a JSA classified arc with an artist named Ramon Perez, who is phenomenal. And also sometime later this year, I don't know when, I've got a short story in a Marvel Comics Presents issue starring Stingray with art by Lee Weeks.
That's great.
Yeah, it's what I've seen of it looks great, and a little 8-page story, but it's kind of fun. And that's about it right now. I mean, I've got other stuff on the horizon, but that's kind of the only things I can chat about much. So The Leading Man Trade has been out for a while, and they're making progress on a movie there, so that might happen. And we've got the two Hawaiian Dick trades in Battle Hymn, and people are gobbling them up at conventions, so things are going pretty well.
That's beautiful, man. And, well, I will, as always, give the invitation that when the other stuff is announced, I'll have you back. You have not been back since, for a long one, since our first conversation, which was literally one of the first word balloons.
Well, I've been sitting on work so I can get it out on time without having it delayed, so I've kind of been, like, absent. The only thing I've got coming out soon is a trauma anthology book that Tim
Seeley
will do.
I saw that. That was good, man.
Yeah, so I've got a story in there, but, I haven't done much that's out there, but now I'm starting to get it out, and I'll tell you what, I've got a project that... coming down the pipeline pretty soon, I think, that I'll be able to talk about that we can chat about soon. So I'll let you know.
I know.
We'll chat.
I know. We talk all the time. I'm happy that everything's going well, man. So I look forward to the stuff finally coming out of the pipeline and actually being printed, and I look forward to its publishing. So, Clay, thank you, and we'll talk soon, and we'll talk longer.
Thank you, John.
The con is almost over, but thank God I ran into Chris Moreno because I've been talking all about him with various people, and now we can finally speak. Dude, first of all, as you know, I enjoy Sidekick, and I was so thrilled to see that in the frontline World War Hulk books, there's enough room for a couple pages of you and Paul doing the same kind of Sidekick humor, and it's been great.
Yeah, it's kind of like the after-dinner mint to all of the World War Hulk craziness. We get to kind of, I guess, cleanse the palate before the next issue. So.
And it was great seeing the main character's Sidekick on a Have You Seen This Child poster in the first issue that you guys did.
Yeah, well, Well, the Times Square bit, you know, the first thing that I thought when we did the opening in the Times Square is, okay, I get to do some really fun billboards and stuff. So a lot of those were for Paul, like the Sidekick one. I did the Inhumans, the musical, and the Century Flakes and all those. Those are all for Paul. So, you know, and plus I did all those separate, so we can, you know, if we do billboards and any other bits, I can always throw those up there. So
very good. That's excellent. What else have you got coming up?
Sidekick issue 2 of the Super Summer Spectacular is coming out soon. I'm doing a book through Top Cow called Johnny Delgado is Dead, and that'll be out in the fall.
What's that book about?
Basically, it's kind of a modern kind of version of Zorro, kind of a classic Mexican revenge type story. This kind of gritty southwestern noir about two guys who are like best friends. They come up, they're almost identical. They're like brothers. So when the one is he's a U.S. attorney, he's rubbed out by the mob. The other friend comes back to avenge him. He basically assumes his identity is kind of like an avenging angel. So
very cool. I've seen the preview art for that, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's very different kind of, you know, again, it's a different style than what I normally do on my other books, but J.M. Ringay is coloring that, and J.M. was the colorist on Death Comes to Dillinger.
Oh, cool, yeah.
In those books, so he's really kind of getting really gritty and textured and stuff on my stuff. And
who's that through?
Is
that Top Cow?
That's Top Cow, yeah. And it's Company X is the kind of imprint. It's John Leakley and Michael Olmos are the co-writers on it. John was the writer on Miami Vice, producer on Spawn the Animated Series, and Kindred the Embraced.
Wow.
Yeah, Michael Olmos had his own production company. He's the son of Edward James Olmos.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a pretty wild team-up for all of us, so it's very, very cool.
That's excellent, man. What I always like about your stuff, and I was saying with the Silent Devil guys, is you can do it all, Chris. You can do great action. You do great cartoony stuff as well. Super Fred has its own style as well, the stuff you do with Tony. And your versatility shows through each project. So, you know, Johnny Delgado is going to be something that everyone should be looking for. And it's nice to see crime taken to a different locale and, you know, a different setting.
Well, I mean, one of the things I always said about it is, like, you know, you can get long shadows in the sunshine, too. So, you know, to take kind of the noir elements and, you know, just take them to a different location is fun, you know. Because we also, you know, it's kind of the western locale, too. We got these big kind of, like, John Ford western vistas in it as well. So it's just a fun kind of location for me to work with and you know, just getting to play around in a different sandbox. So, I mean, it's very good.
And when are we going to hear the great commentary of you and your pal at IFC doing Gymkhana, your favorite movie?
Oh, well, I keep talking to Matt about it, and when I can make the time to get out to New York, I'm definitely going to get with Matt on that. Matt and I have been friends for a very, very long time, and it kind of came out of our love for comics and really bad B-movie style stuff, and Gymkhana is like the crown jewel of our bad movie night, so our passion for it will become evident in our commentary.
For those of you who don't know, Gymkhana is a very bad 80s movie featuring an Olympian who was a gymnast Olympian. And
Kurt Thomas.
Yes, whose big performance was always done on the pommel horse.
That's right, yeah. And actually it was produced by, I believe it was produced by the guys who did Enter the Dragon.
There you
and
go.
Some of those. And they couldn't get away from tournaments and like all of their movies. So there's some weird country called Parmistan. And I remember it's so dated. It was a prime location for a Star Wars program, defense satellite.
And that'd be Reagan's Star Wars kids.
That's why the U.S. had to win this damn tournament. But yeah, the pommel horse. Well, the whole movie, they just awkwardly work in gymnastics equipment into the background.
Conveniently, there's parallel bars in this alley.
Yeah, there's a parallel bar. They didn't even like try to put clothes on them. Like, you know, they're clotheslines, they're flags. They're just these two bars sticking out in the middle of the walls. But yeah, we probably love the movie more than anybody who's ever worked on it or been affiliated with it. So, of course, we're way more qualified, I guess, to do the commentary.
I look forward to the special edition DVD of Gymkhana featuring a commentary from Chris Moreno.
Yeah, well, actually, that's going to be available as a podcast. We're going to podcast that. So,
excellent.
Yeah, just watch the skies for that. I talked to Matt very briefly because he was covering San Diego.
For IFC.
Yeah, that's right, for IFC. So, we're gonna be talking more about that in the future, hopefully. So I'm planning on making a trip back east in the fall.
Cool.
So yeah, we can make that happen.
Cool. Well, Jenkins was telling me about some of the other plans that you guys have cooking and stuff, and I hope that they come through, and that's great. When they do, we will talk about them, and we'll talk about them more than 5 minutes on a convention floor. And I won't have my computer eat it like the last interview. So.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a pleasure as always. I'm glad we managed to make some time to talk.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
So there it is. My Words of Chicago coverage. Thanks again to all the artists, writers, and executives that participated. We hope you enjoy it. Coming up, we'll be back to our one-on-one conversations. For me, the con season is over, and I look forward to seeing people in the convention season of 2008. This episode of Word Balloon was sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at up to 35% off with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at DCBService.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com. They were at the con, and I think they did very well. So glad you're supporting the sponsors of Word Balloon. We really appreciate that. Thanks again for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, I'm always available for any input you'd like to give on the show. My email is john@wordballoon.com. Also, be sure to check us out at iTunes, at Newsarama, myspace.com/wordballoon, comicspace.com/wordballoon. So many various sites, so many ways to reach Word Balloon. We hope you enjoy the show, and stick around because more great shows are coming in the days and weeks ahead. In the meantime, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2007. Thanks for listening.